Today, I want to discuss a very profound topic, institutional traps. In fact, every system has a bias. It points towards a certain predetermined goal. For ordinary people, they lack the ability to interpret the direction of the system. They can only blindly obey and follow the system, and thus unconsciously move towards the endpoint guided by the system. If this endpoint is a bottomless abyss, then ordinary people can only helplessly fall into it, without any way out. The entire system designed for renovating old buildings in Hong Kong is a very vivid example of this. It has, in an extremely forceful way, led Hong Kong residents into a dark abyss, and today's fire has provided the ultimate commentary on this institutional trap. As a seasoned professional in the real estate and construction industry, I naturally need to provide a comprehensive analysis of Hong Kong's system. After all, mainland China has always copied Hong Kong's system in the real estate and construction fields, thus plunging 1.4 billion Chinese people into the endless pain of the real estate bubble burst. If mainland China also copies Hong Kong's current system in the area of old building renovation, then 1.4 billion Chinese people will be completely led into a bottomless abyss, never to recover. First, you need to understand three basic facts. The first is the age of existing buildings in Hong Kong. According to the Hong Kong government's classification, buildings over 30 years old are considered old buildings and are subject to mandatory renovation requirements. Therefore, we need to understand the total area of these old buildings. According to the complete data published in the Hong Kong 2025 Statistical Yearbook, as of the end of 2024, the total stock of private residential buildings in Hong Kong was 1.292 billion square meters, of which the total area of private residential buildings built before 1989 was 632 million square meters, accounting for 48.9%. Of course, it is now the end of 2025, and houses built between 1990 and 1995 also fall into the category of old buildings. The area of these houses is approximately 120 million square meters. Adding these together, the total area of old buildings in Hong Kong is approximately 752 million square meters, accounting for approximately 58.2%. That is to say, about 60% of the houses in Hong Kong are legally defined as old buildings and are subject to mandatory renovation requirements. This in itself is a very terrifying. Regarding the data, I believe that before seeing this data, you only had a general understanding of the aging urban landscape of Hong Kong. However, you probably didn't realize that about 60% of the residential buildings in this city are over 30 years old, classified as legally defined old buildings, requiring mandatory inspection and renovation according to relevant regulations. Furthermore, as time goes on, more and more buildings will exceed 30 years old, and this percentage will increase rapidly. Now, let's discuss the second point. All indicators in the construction field in Hong Kong can be calculated using the 3x principle. Specifically, for construction costs, the unit construction cost of high-rise residential buildings with high-end finishes in mainland China is approximately 6,000 yuan, while in Hong Kong it is approximately 18,000 Hong Kong dollars. Regarding renovation projects, even for dilapidated buildings in mainland China that are on the verge of collapse, the unit renovation cost is only around 1,000 yuan. This is because renovation doesn't start from scratch. The parts that can be repaired are limited. If the unit renovation cost exceeds 1,000 yuan, it exceeds the limit of what can be repaired, and such buildings no longer have repair value. It's better to demolish them directly. In Hong Kong, however, renovation costs. Construction projects generally cost around HK$3,000 per square meter. Therefore, the total construction area of the Red Robe Monastery, which was engulfed in the recent fire, is approximately 100,000 square meters, and the estimated cost of restoration reaches HK$330 million, or about HK$3,300 per square meter. For example, the construction time for a high-rise residential building, from groundbreaking to completion, takes about 2 years in mainland China, while in Hong Kong it takes significantly longer. A standard renovation project for an old building, which involves updating the facade, replacing plumbing systems, and reinforcing the structure in some areas, usually takes only 6 to 10 months in mainland China, but at least 2.5 years in Hong Kong. In early July 2024, the Red Robe Monastery began its renovation project, and strangely adopted a model of starting work on 8 buildings simultaneously. By the time the fire broke out, 1 year and 5 months had passed, but apart from erecting bamboo scaffolding around the 8 buildings, virtually no real renovation work had been done. The exterior facade remained untouched, the plumbing system was untouched, and no structural reinforcement work had been carried out. Every day, only a dozen or so migrant workers were scattered across the scaffolding of the 8 buildings, doing some very simple work of removing the original exterior facade. However, although the actual progress of the project was practically zero, the payment progress for the construction project was very fast. By the time the fire broke out, 180 million yuan had already been paid, reaching 55% of the total project cost. Regarding the third attempt, if the difficulty of government departments handling reporting work is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most difficult, a difficulty coefficient of 8 is already very challenging, but Hong Kong is a 10, representing a level of difficulty that is almost impossible to describe. Initially, mainland China directly copied Hong Kong's land, housing, and construction management system, establishing a land lease system, which involves granting land use rights for a certain number of years. At the same time, it established a system of separate management for land and buildings, with land managed by the land department, planning by the urban planning department, and construction by the housing and construction department. In addition, various administrative departments such as environmental protection, transportation, fire protection, and municipal administration conduct specialized reviews in their respective fields. This system, copied from Hong Kong, has become unbearable for mainland China, especially after the real estate bubble burst. The entire society simply cannot afford the significant waste of resources caused by this fragmented reporting and approval system. Therefore, the Chinese government was forced to initiate reforms in relevant areas. On the one hand, it carried out extensive departmental mergers. For example, the land and planning departments have been merged, and some cities have even merged the construction department as well. On the other hand, it streamlined the approval process and established a unified online approval platform, enabling multi-departmental joint approval and simultaneous approval. Through these measures, administrative barriers and information silos between departments in the reporting process are broken down, reducing resource waste for the entire society. However, Hong Kong has no desire for any systemic reform. Although Hong Kong's real estate bubble has also burst, with housing prices falling back to 2015 levels and major real estate companies experiencing a series of debt defaults, the Hong Kong government has absolutely no intention of improving the reporting process. Hong Kong still adheres to the system of separate management of land and buildings. The lands department, responsible for selling land, the planning department, responsible for urban planning, and the buildings department, responsible for construction project management, each operate independently and will absolutely not merge. Of course, Hong Kong also lacks a unified online approval platform, and there are more than a dozen specialized review departments, including the Environmental Protection Department, Transport Department, Buildings Department, Fire Services Department, and Labor Department, among others. There is no channel for information sharing. Everyone is blindly reviewing the materials in their hands, completely unaware of whether the materials from other departments contradict their own. Of course, they also have no interest in breaking down the information and administrative barriers between departments. This fragmented, opaque management model not only leads to low approval efficiency and huge waste of social resources, but more importantly, it breeds corruption. Even the most powerful anti-corruption agency cannot curb the corrupt impulses deep within human nature. Before China implemented systemic reforms to its building administration system, the corruption rate among officials in this sector was astonishingly high, often resulting in the arrest of all cadres above a certain level in an entire department. Believe me, Hong Kong people are no better. Their humanity is equally susceptible to temptation. Faced with huge profits, they will also fall into the abyss of corruption. Now let me reiterate these three basic points. First, 60% of Hong Kong's buildings are legally classified as old buildings, with mandatory inspection and repair obligations. Second, Hong Kong's construction costs and timelines are three times those of mainland China. Third, Hong Kong's building administration system remains highly fragmented, extremely primitive and backward, with no desire for reform. Complacency, laziness, and reliance on flawed systems are typical of the Hong Kong government's current style. The Hong Kong government could not, cannot, and will not be able to make any changes to the management system itself, especially those related to real estate and construction. The vested interest groups involved are simply too large, making any reform impossible. Understanding these points allows us to continue with the following discussion. Now let me briefly calculate the annual cost of repairing old buildings. Hong Kong has 752 million square meters of old buildings. Assuming that only 5% of them are repaired each year, which is a very low percentage, 1/20th, that's approximately 38 million square meters. Calculating the repair cost at HK$3,000 per square meter, the total expenditure is HK$114 billion. Note that this is a cake worth over 100 billion Hong Kong dollars, managed by 20 fragmented departments with no necessary information communication between them. The entire system, the extremely low level of governance, coupled with an extremely primitive system, managing such a huge pie inevitably leads to systemic corruption. Even more appalling is that, although Hong Kong nominally has nearly 20 departments managing construction projects, none of them actually oversees project progress. In mainland China, this responsibility falls under the Construction Bureau, but Hong Kong lacks such a corresponding department. This means that the over HK$100 billion spent annually on old building renovation projects in Hong Kong can be delayed indefinitely, and the progress of these projects is not subject to supervision by any authority. Nominally, the power to control project progress belongs to the owner's corporation, but if the members of the owner's corporation are also deeply involved in corruption, then ordinary owners have no way to complain or resolve the problem. For example, the renovation project of Hung Home Court took 1 year and 5 months, costing HK$180 million, but the project itself made no substantial progress. Ordinary owners complained everywhere, but to no avail. nearly 20 Hong Kong departments responsible for building-related matters simply ignored these complaints. At this point, I must go back and explain in detail Hong Kong's mandatory building inspection and renovation system for old buildings. The mandatory building inspection system originates from Part 2 of the Hong Kong Buildings Ordinance. For buildings over 30 years old, a mandatory inspection is required every 10 years. If the owner fails to inspect or refuses to inspect in time, the government can conduct the inspection on behalf of the owner, with the owner bearing the relevant costs and a 20% surcharge, and the owner may also be fined. In other words, mandatory building inspection is a legal obligation and cannot be refused. Since there is mandatory building inspection, there will naturally be cases where the inspection results are unsatisfactory. Here, a systemic directional choice emerges, and this choice determines whether the people of Hong Kong continue to maintain the superficial stability of a gilded cage or take another step towards the abyss. The first question is, what should be done if the inspection results are unsatisfactory? The government at this point has at least three choices. First, maintain the status quo without intervention. Second, officially declare the building unsafe, restricting residents' right to occupy and sell. Third, mandatory renovation. On this issue, the Hong Kong government unhesitatingly chose the third option, mandatory renovation. The building's ordinance clearly stipulates that the government can carry out renovations on behalf of the owners, with the relevant costs borne by the owners, plus a 20% surcharge. The second question is, if mandatory repairs are required, will it be limited repairs or comprehensive repairs? Limited repairs refer to only addressing safety-related issues, such as only carrying out structural reinforcement work and repairing safety-related systems such as fire protection and drainage. For the exterior, only key areas such as windows are reinforced. The cost of such limited repairs is very low. In mainland China, it often only costs 1 or 200 yuan per square meter, and in Hong Kong, it only costs about 500 Hong Kong dollars per square meter. As for comprehensive renovation of the exterior, this kind of aesthetic project itself is the most expensive, and it has no necessary connection with the safety of the building, so it is not a mandatory option for repairs. However, the Hong Kong authorities have chosen the option of mandatory comprehensive repairs. In Hong Kong, almost no relevant government department will approve a limited repair plan. Even the application cannot be submitted. Every owner's corporation has no interest in the limited repair plan. The entire set of rules dictates that comprehensive repairs are mandatory, and a repair fee of 3,000 Hong Kong dollars per square meter must be paid. The reason is also easy to understand. Limited repairs only address safety hazards. The repair costs include real steel, cement, and solid engineering fees, with basically no room for inflated costs. However, aesthetic projects such as exterior renovation, which involve erecting unnecessary bamboo scaffolding, repainting the exterior, tiling, creating various designs, and adding some artistic elements, are difficult to quantify in terms of cost and are therefore a target area for corruption. It can even be said that without comprehensive exterior renovation, there is no room for corruption. Here I must explain that currently, the Chinese government's policy in mainland China tends to favor the limited repair plan. The most common repair plan for old buildings often involves replacing elevators, reinforcing key structural parts, and repairing key pipe equipment such as fire protection systems. The third question is the source of repair funds. The Hong Kong government has five options at this time. First, the government bears all costs. Second, the government bears most of the costs, and the owners bear a small portion. Third, the government and the owners each bear half of the costs. Fourth, the costs are borne mostly by the property owners, with the government covering a small portion. Fifth, the property owners bear all the costs. Don't doubt it, on this issue, the Hong Kong government unhesitatingly chose the fifth option, where the property owners bear all the costs. Of course, the Hong Kong government also has a so-called repair subsidy program, but the funding for this program is extremely limited, and it is also extremely difficult to apply for, so it can be directly ignored. Here, it is also necessary to introduce the current rules in mainland China. For projects with a maintenance fund, the maintenance fund is naturally used first. For projects without a maintenance fund, the Chinese government's policy tends towards the fourth option, where the property owners bear most of the costs, and the government bears a small portion. The ratio is roughly 2-1, meaning the property owners bear 2/3 and the government bears 1/3. Because repair projects are basically limited in scope, the maintenance content is nothing more than replacing elevators, reinforcing key structures, and repairing fire safety equipment. Such projects are easy to calculate the total cost. Taking a standard 100-meter residential building with a building area of 15,000 square meters as an example, replacing three elevators would cost approximately 500,000 yuan, reinforcing key structures would cost approximately 500,000 yuan, and inspecting and repairing fire safety equipment would also cost approximately 500,000 yuan. That's three 500,000 yuan sums, totaling 1.5 million yuan. Currently, Mainland China's housing repair projects can apply for government subsidies, and the application process is easy and not complicated. It's easy to get 100% of the elevator repair costs reimbursed, meaning only 500,000 yuan is actually paid, and the remaining 1 million yuan is shared by the residents. Based on a standard 100 square meter unit, the cost per household is approximately 6,700 yuan. This is the reality. Seeing this, you may have realized that in terms of real estate management systems, mainland China has gradually abandoned the Hong Kong model and begun to exhibit humanity and rationality. In this area, the Chinese government is not as cold and ruthless as it is towards manufacturing. Of course, this is not difficult to understand. Longtime viewers of this channel know that the biggest characteristic of China's political system is that it is a country of section chiefs. While President Xi seems to have absolute power, he must rely on the support of the section chiefs and must defend their interests. The issue of building renovation is precisely a matter concerning the section chiefs. The issue lies in vested interests. In the 1990s, most of the old section chiefs lived in the government compounds of that time. These dormitory buildings in the compounds are now precisely the focus of renovation and reconstruction. While the old section chiefs have long since retired, the current section chiefs have intricate ties to them and will certainly defend the collective interests of the former section chiefs. If a system affects the interests of the old section chiefs, then this system will be subject to repeated scrutiny, and the final system implemented will undoubtedly be full of humanity and warmth. Hong Kong, however, is different. Hong Kong is a purely public sector-oriented city, where all policies must serve the interests of powerful corporations and political figures. Before the 1997 handover, the center of power struggles in Hong Kong was the Hong Kong government. After the handover, the center of power struggle shifted to the Legislative Council and the Liaison Office of the Central People's Government. Hong Kong's middle-level civil servants cannot participate in this power struggle. They have no channels to voice their opinions. They can only squeeze their families of 3 into 40 square meter apartments, forcing smiles under the pressure of life. This is the reality of Hong Kong, and its cold reality. Therefore, the policy direction for the renovation of old buildings in Hong Kong is naturally. This points directly to blatant self-interest and extremely clear corruption. The keywords of this set of rules are mandatory building inspections and mandatory comprehensive renovations, with all costs borne by the property owners. Furthermore, the renovation projects are not subject to any supervision, allowing the owner's corporation to do whatever they want. With annual renovations costing billions of Hong Kong dollars, the vast majority of the expenses are unnecessary. This external force, disguised as renovation, has led to countless bamboo scaffolding structures being erected throughout Hong Kong streets and alleys, and through this extremely backward process, enormous profits are continuously transferred to a small number of powerful individuals. This is the truth behind Hong Kong's old building renovation system. Ordinary Hong Kong residents are being pushed into an abyss of despair and a sea of suffering by this system. Meanwhile, a small number of powerful individuals can easily reap hundreds of billions of dollars in profits every year without any risk whatsoever. My conclusion can be stated directly here. If this entire set of rules for old building renovations in Hong Kong, and even its entire building administration and management mechanism, does not undergo fundamental changes, the specter of fire will constantly haunt Hong Kong, ready to strike again at any time, causing another devastating disaster. There is no exaggeration here.